Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. China's trade declined abruptly in June. Exports fell by 3.1% compared with a year earlier, and imports contracted by 0.7%. A decline in Chinese economic activity could have global repercussions, denting revenues for suppliers of commodities and industrial components, such as Australia, Brazil, and Southeast Asia. This morning, though, private exporters did report to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The 13-14 marketing year for corn will begin on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,318. It's up 17 points. The NASDAQ is 3510, up almost 7. And the S&P 500, 1653, is up just about 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Worry over Midwest weather continues to mount today as a high-pressure system is advertised to build across parts of the region this coming weekend into next week. The concern is that this is a festering event. Well, the very first thing I want to make clear this morning is that I do not believe that we're looking at a blocking weather pattern and that the odds are very high that we're going to continue to see wavering weather over this next 10-day period. So while, yes, we will go through a period of very warm conditions and restricted rainfall for a large part of the Midwest, I'm not convinced it's going to be a festering event that is going to set us up for a big fall in production. Most likely, though, stress levels will be rising across the western Corn Belt, where we've already seen 2 weeks' worth of dry conditions, and it's likely to continue drying out there. That means places like Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri will continue to see a firming soil, with topsoil moisture likely to become very short as we get into the week next week. The northwestern parts of the Delta have already experienced some significant drying. In fact, a larger portion of the Delta has actually seen some notable drying here recently, and they too will be closely monitored, although rain will fall across some of that region here today. But back in the heart of the Midwest, the eastern production areas obviously have seen a lot of rain here recently. Parts of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky in particular, as well as most of the southeastern United States, have been way too wet. And a period of drier weather with some warmer temperatures is just about ideal for what is needed across those areas. So the drying tendency that may occur across some of that region beginning tomorrow and lasting on into next week will actually turn out to be beneficial for the eastern Midwest. But back in the western Corn Belt, like I mentioned before, we're already hurting on moisture in some locations, and it won't take too long for subsoil moisture to start to decline as well. Adding on top of that, temperatures that will probably get into the 90s and over 100 degrees in portions of Missouri and in Iowa, as well as Kansas and Nebraska, as we go through the weekend and into next week, raises the potential issue that crop stress will be on the rise. Subsoil moisture will still be adequate in quite a few areas, with the exception of Nebraska and parts of eastern Kansas, as we go through this period of time, so the crops will continue to develop relatively well, although still stressed by the heat and by the lack of new moisture. Reproduction is getting underway across the Midwest, as you know, and that under those circumstances, constant hot temperatures and declining soil moisture and no precipitation is certainly not the right ingredients for high yields. And so the Western Corn Belt remains high on the list of areas of concern as we move forward through this next week. But the question is will we be seeing this pattern prevail for more than a week? There's a cold air mass suggested to come down across the Midwest at the end of next week going into the following weekend. At the moment, there seems to be quite a bit of advertised cool air in Canada, and if that air mass drops into the eastern part of the U.S. as suggested this morning, there might be a fair amount of relief and an end, at least temporarily, to the significant warmth and drier bias. Some showers and thunderstorms would likely accompany this frontal system into the Midwest, but it's up for debate how significant that rain may or may not be. but just bringing temperatures down and offering a few showers is a much better environment for pollination, and the corn crop will likely respond favorably to that kind of environment. We will likely see more waves of warm and dry weather coming and going across the Midwest in late July and August, so we certainly are not going to be out of the woods necessarily, but the odds are fairly good that we're not going to see a widespread serious problem across the Midwest like that of 2012. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. July hard red winter wheat at 7.04, down 2 3/4. September, 7.02 1/4, down 1 1/2. Soft July at 6.70, down 5 1/2. September, 6.75, down 2 1/2. July corn, 7.09 1/2, up 5 1/2. September, 5.54 1/4, up 2 1/2. December, 5.23 1/4, up 1 1/2. July soybeans, 16.18 1/4, up 5. September, 13.28, up 5 1/2. November, 12.82 1/4, up 6. July soybean meal, 5.21, up 20. September, 4.10.70, up 160. July soybean oil, 46.91, down 17. September, 46.75, up 11. August live cattle, 122.70, down 2 1/2. August feeders, 150.37 1/2, down 77 1/2. And July lean hogs, 101.67 1/2, up 82 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Looking at the reports for tomorrow, we get the trade looking at ending stocks for corn at 1.874 billion bushels, soybeans 270 million, wheat 624. Trade thinks that ending stocks is going to actually be less this time around. What does Risk Management Commodities believe the numbers will show?
Well, I think realistically, we're looking for basically a carbon copy report from last month. For beans in particular, I don't think we've got enough evidence to really draw the yield down. And we'll get the new acres, obviously, incorporated into the report. But as far as the corn's concerned, what we're really concerned about there is the possibility that with the improved crop conditions that the USDA has already basically taken two cuts in the yield, maybe they'll take this opportunity to put some back. I think that would basically give you back your 2 billion bushel carryout figure pretty quick if you put another bushel or two on it. I think the demand side of the equation in corn in particular has probably not strengthened enough to give any real encouragement, so any increase in yield would basically go straight down to the bottom line.
And yet this week, the trade is making a definitive statement, it seems to me, on a technical aspect with the huge rally we have seen in the last couple of days out of the well, and makes one wonder if the numbers from this week will be the numbers that will now hold at harvest low.
You know, it's possible as far as wheat's concerned. I think that is indeed a possibility. I think wheat around the world has been getting a little bit more value. I think it's worked its way into a lot of substitution channels. So I think wheat probably has found good value levels. I think yield expectations early on were not that high. We got better than expected yield for a while. But now wheat or weather has really intimidated the wheat, and the soft red winter wheat in particular has really run into some challenges.
I think corn, too.
To some degree, corn, but corn's yet to be determined. We've probably seen some of the better crop ratings. The weather has been very, very cooperative based on the wet planting situation that we've encountered this year. So I think yield prospects in corn still could be pretty darn good, although the top end has definitely been trimmed off.
I think that there is still a story to be told on planted and harvested acres.
Most certainly. I think the planted acres, but unfortunately, the USDA has really struggled to get accurate planted acres, especially in prevent plant years like this. So what we've tried to do is just make a core assumption of maybe a couple million acres lost and work the rest forward on yield.
And when we look at old crop soybeans, any number, it seems to me, above 100 will just be blown off as with a lot of skepticism, because the trade believes that we are way, way lower than that.
You know, it's very possible. The September quarterly grain stocks report is once again going to be all important because there's most a lot of us really do not think that the inventories that we've been seeing on paper are out there in real life.
So at the end of the day or the end of the week, will futures be higher or lower?
Probably a little bit lower. Well, lower than where we are right now.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace for you as we look here. Oh, and the computer is having a little bit of a glitch right now. So let me go ahead and share another story with you. Eight major meat packers and livestock groups from the U.S. and Canada are suing USDA to block implementation of a new country of origin labeling rule for meat. USDA issued that ruling late in May. It requires more information on where each of the production steps born, raised, and slaughtered actually occurred. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.